Welcome to Vagabond Play Podcast with you and us.
Okay, that can work. So welcome back, guys. This is Ron.
I'm Jose.
And I'm Reg.
So we are joined by my son.
Yay!
Welcome back.
Hello.
He looks tired of his
life.
He looks tired because of working out. Because apparently we decided we have to lose weight. Because
how heavy and okay, give the audience members mental picture. Who Rain is.
Yeah, Rain is a cute little boy. Uh-huh. Well, not anymore little.
Yes.
Husky.
Well rounded.
Well, at least he's in a shape. Narwhalian.
Rain is 11.
Rain is 11.
Very rounded.
Very
healthy.
We
discovered that he was a tad bit heavier. Guys, pardon. There's a construction in the next...
They're building a starship in the next room.
Yeah. I think it's a weapon of mass destruction.
I just said starship!
That could have a weapon of mass destruction.
Okay. So it's a destroyer.
Yeah.
With a special hole that you shoot and it gets blown up.
Uh-huh.
We're not referring to the Death Star.
Yeah. So, going back to Rain, we discovered that he's apparently a tad bit heavier than Manny Pacquiao.
Are you serious?
Yes. So we took drastic action. Found a class that's near to us. So Reg, thank you for introducing me into CrossFit. So yes, out
also,
there.
Also, Rain's doing CrossFit now.
A variant of it is called HIIT.
Just HIIT.
Yeah,
high intensity interval training.
Yeah, but it's pretty much the same system.
Use the same metabolic pathways.
Yeah, yeah. So just makes every. We're talking about exercise in a working show. Very balanced approach in life. Mm-hmm. We like to have fun in our games, but also try to be a bit more healthier. It's because we spend most of our time thinking and exercising our brains. Hence, we
I was going for eating food then. And the stomachs end up on the tabletop.
Okay.
Well, yes. I'm not saying that
Mr.
Fit. Because, Reg is the only one with a waistline below 30. On the stable.
Okay. Alright, anyway, so going back, and I don't know how much of that they're actually going to put.
Zero.
Yeah, let's not just talk about our waistlines at the moment.
Yeah, because last time we were so happy. Oh, 95!
We role-played as 90.
Ah, yeah. You were like 3 tons. You were a T-Rex. You were a freaking car! 2.5 tons-ish.
I was 92. No, you're way below. You're prom queen.
Okay. So today we'll be talking about set collection and games that are... Yes, sir. Any orders?
Pass up.
So, okay.
Game of this. But wait, there's more.
Oh, that's a good game. That's a good party.
For my opinion, I think But Wait, There's More is a bit better than Snake Oil.
Explain how But Wait, There's More.
Oh
works.
My god, your son is so cute. I stretch a goat.
You have 5 cards, right?
We did the variant already. So, explain the variant, okay? And I will explain the normal one.
He's been bottling up this spiel since kanina pa.
Okay.
Waiting for his father's end.
Oh, you go.
And he just goes.
I had a lot of
Okay. So normally, when you play, But Wait, There's More, you draw a product card,
mm-hmm.
and you will play features. To describe that product, the base rules I find that it's very limited in terms of expounding and making it more fun. So what we did, again, signature of variable play,
is we added another variable.
So you take 2 products and stick them together to make
example,
a more
example.
A shovel tent.
Shovel tent.
Yeah. So as a shovel tent. And then we then will use 5 cards instead of just, I think, 2 or 3 in the base game. You use 5 features, and you will select 3 of those features and make a spiel within 30 seconds. Any point of your spiel, you can draw a random card, and that's your, but wait, there's more, or sort of your, oh, you haven't seen the best part aspect of it. But it, since you're drawing blind, it will often than not create silly situations where you're going like, how do I fit this in? And then you just try to make a story how it fits. In terms of gamers, what do you think?
It's more like you can advertise more. Because in Snake Oil, you use like bottles of cards, and it feels like
constrained. You feel constrained.
Yeah, and I like it when you. Yeah. What? And when I play There's More, I feel like there's more things and more options you can say to what you can advertise to get the point.
Okay.
So.
Well, what I find is that But Wait, There's More is more structured. It allows the players to come up with a plan of explaining their product. Whereas in Snake Oil, it requires players to be good in making these spiels in the first place for it to really click. So, because you're just given a random client.
And you're supposed to imagine the whole thing.
And you have a product that you're selling to that client. And you now have to just really come up with whatever selling points for you to convince the person, the judge, that your product is the best one. Another innovation they added with But Wait, There's More is the scoring. Every round, you're given a certain number of cards that have different values, maybe 3 to 1, depending on the number of players. You are all trying to figure out the feature of this product. And when you score everybody else.
What? Oh, you rate everyone else.
You rate everyone. Interesting. But since you have different weights, then you now can... Everyone simultaneously scores each other. And at the end of the game, whoever has the highest point total wins. Compared to Snake Oil, where it's very subjective and gamers
and
normally game it.
Game it. Wow. Scoring system.
To the point, oh, we're... But the reason why they're gaming it is that it's so much fun, they just want to extend the game.
And for the people who are questioning what gaming it, it means when I know you're going to win, I'm not going to give you the point. Yeah, that's what it means.
All right. So, cool. So, again, today's topic is about set collection.
Excuse me. Yeah. It's my turn.
It's Rich.
Oh, sorry.
How are you saying?
Okay, I'm just going
to... Awesome. Well, my recent gaming experience with you, Red 7,
that's a good card game.
It's a good card game, but it's, how do I say this?
I'll correct myself. It's an extremely good card game.
It's an unorthodox card game, because you're given paints and weights with those paints, like a number point. And the goal is to, each color has a category, a win condition. And so you get to change the win condition of the game as well as your own personal score with these paints. And the goal, and you take turns playing in tandem with your opponent. The problem is, if you could keep changing the win condition and your palette, you run out of paints quickly. But if you just focus on building your palette, you might not win. So it's a combination of trying to get your opponent to finish off their resources versus you tricking them into
changing the palette for
you. Changing the palette for your favor.
Likes this game.
Why?
What are your opinions on Red 7?
Wanna go 1-on-1? Let's go, man.
I play Red 7.
Really?
Arm wrestling for it.
Yeah. A little throwback. Oh, yeah.
I feel like you need to think about it more on what card you use. And when you get stuck, you have to think of something on what you do. Or no choice, you might just lose for what you just did.
Yeah, the game provides...
Oh, let's go. Let's go. It's go time.
A lot of options for you to get out of the sticky situation that you think you're in.
Mm.
The only thing I don't like about the game, which isn't really a bad thing, it's naturally what's gonna happen, is that when you lose, mm-hmm. it takes you a while to realize you've lost.
Yes.
Because
what do you mean?
Because if you have four cards and you're looking at it, no, there's gotta be something in here.
And you're trying to find a way.
And you're trying to find a way.
You're going back and forth through all the cards you have in hand. And then you get the realization that, oh crap, I can't play any card.
Yeah, apparently I lost. So it's always on when losing. It's always a bit anticlimactic, but
I wouldn't know.
Oh
snap, there it goes.
I'm
kidding. Is it? Oh, okay. Okay.
But
kidding around.
In terms
people are right now going, wow, this Reg guy is really a douche. Go. Wow, what an asshole.
Yeah, we're kicking him out.
So with Red 7,
I when I
ordered it, a dear friend of mine was in the States for a quick visit, and I said, can I please send some games so you can tag it along on your trip? And gracefully they allowed me. I was actually very hesitant because I the price point of the game is really good, very, very low cost.
Mm.
But all of the video explanations in the internet is just talking about how the game works, sort of complaining about the odd complexity of it. But the thing that they don't understand why it's unique is that you're in essence making a plan out of seven cards.
Mm-hmm.
And you that game plan can change because of how things are evolving on the game.
Yes.
But you're trying to now tweak your puzzle or your tool that you've created with just seven cards.
A good way to also try and win is to figure out what your opponent is trying to do.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So you stay one step ahead of them, you look at their tableau, and you look at
or you just plan ahead that if ever he changes this rule, you have this card to play.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or if ever he changes to this rule, you have this card to play. So yeah.
Although I don't usually play like that. That's kind of reactive.
Well, that's just me winging it.
I just try to make the opponent react to, oh, I see what you did there. Well, how about that?
Well, I think on the next episode, we will probably be able to discuss more about card play. For this one, we're talking about set collection.
What is set collection?
Okay, well, set collection is a game mechanic where to win, you need to collect a certain number of cards that are probably matching by art or color or number, and then those collections allow you to score, and you're racing normally by points.
Mm-hmm. Let's not limit ourselves to just cards.
Mm.
Now it's either you're collecting game pieces or colors.
So if I give you an example, Get Bit is a good set collection game?
No.
Get Bit is a card game.
Get Bit is a hidden movement.
Yes.
Which we can discuss in the future. the simple example is Colorado.
Yes. I was going to say Gin Rummy, but okay.
Well, you can explain Gin Rummy because it's a more classical.
Yeah, everyone, it's called Pusoy Dos, Tong Its.
There you go.
There you go.
So.
Or Mahjong.
Mahjong is a set collection.
And the reason why I picked set collection as a discussion point for us in this episode is I think it's one of the most familiar mechanics for people who's not yet into board gaming. Mm-hmm. Because exactly what you said.
Tong Its is set collection.
Is exactly set collection. Because to score, you need to have certain set of numbers. Or cards or sequences.
Sequences or a set card.
Yep.
Set.
And those allow you to gain points or basically control the board. Pusoy
mm-hmm.
Dos
or
Tong Its where
Gin Rummy for our international listeners.
Mm-hmm. So you're constantly acquiring cards.
And you're discarding.
And you're discarding until you're able to make your collection. So
one other set collection game that I really enjoyed is Ticket to Ride.
Yep.
Okay. All right. Cool. So with Ticket to Ride and Colorado, and I think people are more familiar with Ticket to Ride.
You're trying to collect cards with the same color so you can place trains on a track.
Yeah. And the reason why I used Colorado as another example is that in Ticket to Ride, you convert those
cards
into tracks. In Colorado, you simply just collect them.
Yes.
Now, the perfect pair or the always pair for set collection mechanics is action selection. Mm. And this is a game mechanic where...
Action selection?
Yes.
Yes, it's different. Action selection.
Yes.
Like,
example...
Normally, when you say action selection, normally on a turn, you're given a certain set of actions that you can do mm-hmm. and probably a count of how many actions you can perform in a turn. The simpler the game, the less actions, count of actions you can do. So, for example, in Coloretto, you can either draw and place a card in one of the piles mm-hmm. or take a pile. Those are your two
actions.
And games do this because of the interesting fact that they're playing around the fun about making decisions.
Mm-hmm.
So the study of fun,
mm-hmm.
interesting decisions. When you're making a game, it's always about the interesting decisions that you make throughout the game. And the game allows you to constantly, in a progressive manner, make interesting decisions every turn, then the game is normally considered fun.
Fun.
So with Ticket to Ride, for example, your
action selection is, it's either you draw a card.
Yeah.
Or you play cards.
Yes. So it's also, well, you draw train cards. Or you discard those train cards to create, to
place
a
track.
Acquire a track.
Yes.
Or you draw new tickets,
mm-hmm.
which is basically routes.
Yes.
Or
goals, objectives.
Or goals, yes. And in essence, that's the simplicity of it, but it's also the main
draw
on why it's interesting. It's because when you provide simple frameworks in games where people can, it's all I have to do is either pick and draw a card, pick and place a card, or pick a pile. They instantly understand the game, and there's so many games out there that revolve and hedge upon this idea, and then from there they expound it with points gathering or maybe even discounts and so forth. So the more popular game now is Splendor, where either
you get three chips from three different colors, two chips of one color, or you buy a card, or reserve a card.
Yep. And as you buy those cards, and as you're collecting those innovations, when you buy those cards, it provides you a permanent resource.
Yes.
So we can touch on this topic again in the future.
This is going to fall under engine building.
There you go.
On our next episode.
So
basically, set collection is trying to make the sets most profitable according to the game.
Agree.
And how to win is by, one, creating the best sets.
Yep.
Second, or preventing your opponents
from completing the set.
Yeah. Preventing your opponents from completing the set.
And creating the best on your own.
Making best of
what you've got.
What's in front of you. And I think board games really excel in that, giving you just a small number of options, but you're playing those same options round after round and after round for 30 minutes to an hour, and it's still fun because your brain is constantly making
adjusting
small choices.
Okay.
That could affect the game.
Yep. And whenever you make fun choices or interesting choices.
Choices that matter.
Yep. Your brain just clicks into this rhythm. So where do you find Coloretto a fun game? Okay. Let me change that. How do you like Splendor?
It's a nice game because you make your own engine. So feel like you need this card, you need to make it to get a higher point. You know, when you get those cards ready, you feel like you're completed. When you have all those completed cards, you feel like, oh, I can get those already.
So there's a sense of accomplishment as you
or fulfillment.
Are
yes.
Yep. As you are making bigger and bigger collections, and those normally in more advanced set collection systems, the sets that you're able to make allows you to access to more bigger and bigger sets.
Yeah.
And as human beings,
I think the
including me. We are always interested in collecting things. Mm-hmm. And board game designers played on the...
You're just referring to yourself now.
Oh, wow, man.
Thank you for reminding us.
I studied Scott Nicholson's ideas and fun. So they are making games that allow you to screw around with very simple ideas, action selection. From there, you can make a set, and then from there, you can build more things. I think this type or this genre of game is one of the most approachable gateway type game that you can have in your toolbox of games. That whenever there's a new gamer or there's a family or relative that visits you, you can easily spring out Ticket to Ride, for example, and they'll be attracted. One, it's simple, but normally, because of the simplicity, they get to spend more on the...
Thinking about the game. Or thinking about
what to do. Well, the designers get to spend more on designing the aesthetics of the game. Mm-hmm. They get to make it pretty. Although some abstract games are...
Not pretty.
Not pretty. But...
On a different
level. Don't worry about it, because there are so many games out right now in the market. You don't have to be forced now, okay, that those are the only set collection games out there. There's so many that you can try out. There's many variants on top of that system, and we just wanted to really break down what makes set collection really interesting. It's really cornerstoning on that human aspect of we just want to be able to gather and collect more things.
Or it reveals the obsessive compulsive in each of one of us.
Yeah. So, oh cool, I have 3 green geckos. I want 2 more, because if I get more, I gain 28 points.
No, but I think,
if not, I only have 10.
Like, people connect to set collection more is because I think I speak for everyone that everyone has played Tongits. Everyone has played Mahjong. Mm-hmm. So we're really familiar with the mechanic.
Yes, yes. So...
Oh, you're not there.
That's true. But you've played a lot of more games, it's refreshing to go back to a simple one.
The perfect game for set collection and action selection, an example would be Guildhall.
Yeah.
Is that the one where you create your
establishments?
Establishments.
So it's because the actions are limiting you.
Yeah.
At the same time, it balances what you do.
Would Suburbia count as set collection then?
To an extent.
Yes.
It's more.
But
of
it's
a
now
tile, like,
yeah,
tile placement.
Tile placement. So if you break the game mechanics down to its simple components, first, of course, the invisible aspect is the action selection, because once you've gone beyond the basic learning curve of board gaming. That's the very first thing you learn. It's learning that I have a few actions I can work with in a turn, and I have to decide which one is the best one to take at this
the
moment.
The most optimal action.
So once you've learned that, next would be set collection. And now, okay, How do I build my sets in time, in the proper order so that I can attain a win? It forks into different genres, for example, tile placement, where the relationship between those different sets creates more intricacies and possible points. Takenoko is a set collection, but instead of you finding cards, you're looking for bamboo pieces. So you have this panda running around.
I repeat, this panda has an eating disorder.
What? he eating bamboo shoots that are...
He eats when he's scared.
Yes. Takenoko is a beautiful game designed by Antoine Bowser.
Mm-hmm. It's a very colorful game produced by Asmodee.
Yes. You have three dimensions, which are all set collection. You have a panda who's trying to collect bamboo shoots that he likes to eat. And that if you're able to collect as many bamboo shoots, then you gain points. There's a gardener who's trying to collect formations. The gardener is trying to collect height or certain...
He's trying to grow the bamboo.
He's trying to grow the bamboo to a certain height, and he's collecting those. So he has a panda who's going around trying to eat those,
the bamboo.
And he's now trying to manage that. And the emperor, who's just wants to see the board pretty, and he's...
So it's his garden.
And it's his pet panda.
Oh, it's...
Because the story is the Emperor of China gave the Emperor of Japan a panda as a gift.
Uh-huh.
And he taught the gardener how to plant bamboo to feed the panda.
Yeah.
Okay.
One thing I've noticed is that action selection is sometimes confusing to very new players. Especially the fact that they get to do two things in a turn, or maybe three. The beautiful thing that Takenoko did was they gave you action tokens, which you visually assign on the board.
And Meaning that you took that action.
That you're able to take that action.
It's a nice touch. It's a good reminder of what you've done.
All right. Anything else you guys want to add?
Pretty okay with set collection. Quick recap, what games people would like and why set collection is fun, because it's people are already familiar with it,
the
concept.
Mm-hmm.
Winning is generally easy.
Mm-hmm.
The wide variety of games means there's apparently all kinds of genres, from bamboo eating,
different themes,
pandas,
Geckos.
To diamonds. Gems. Trains.
I have a contradict for something. You said winning is easy, but it's hard for me when I'm at that top of my daddy.
Getting a grasp of how to.
Yes.
Okay.
Which is basically just going for a set and creating that, but at the same time making sure your opponents don't get their sets done.
Mm-hmm. So many games where there's so many systems crammed into it.
There are permutations of these.
And that's why when you would hear us mention a game, oh, it has set collection and hidden movement plus hidden roll, you're going like, what are you guys talking about? So that's the reason why we're starting this board game concepts series of podcasts, is we want to help you break down each of those concepts and really, thread out what's interesting about them, and how you can sell it to a newcomer into the hobby, and if you're a newcomer, what's really nice about it? What how can you get into that genre? So, as a new player, you already probably know how to do this. It's just done in different ways. Instead of cards, maybe you're collecting tokens, or collecting chips, or collecting units. If you are intermediate already, then that's exactly how you would explain to them that, oh, this is just like Tongits, or this is just like Gin Rummy.
Three pass.
would you
well,
consider?
Yeah, actually.
Would you consider no thanks a set collection?
No thanks, yes. But it's...
But yeah, the core,
it is set collection.
And this is where those lines blur.
Mm-hmm.
Since most games are not purely just one mechanic, the way you classify games is based on what's the most prominent mechanic it's using. So I guess with no thanks,
it's reverse bidding. There you go.
Yeah. And that's why Splendor is almost not
set collection.
It's not purely set collection because it's about building up your resources.
Now, a perfect example of a set collection would be Hanabi.
Yes.
Where you're trying to build a set of cards cooperatively.
Yeah. That's the twist of it. So there's a plethora of set collection games out there. You can actually go to Board Game Geek and just filter out set collection for whatever.
Or I could just give you this right now.
Go.
It's Guildhall, Tokaido, Ticket to Ride, Jaipur, and Hanabi.
Please like us in Facebook. Hit share. Get us known out there. Rain, thank you again for joining us. So,
this podcast is brought to you by no one. We're still paying for this.
All right. Bye, guys.
Bye.